Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Omar Calderon and a group of faith walkers share a time of meditation and learning about practices that can nurture our souls. This week, they focus on the first principle of listening prayer: God does it all. This conversation was originally recorded in June of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation. I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm gonna look twice at you. It is great to be here. This is our weekly session, what we call the weekly meditations. It's an event hosted by Faith Walking, and weekly times in which we can share a bit of silence, which is sometimes very surprising. We don't have so much other time for silence during the week, but we spend some minutes in silence, and we share what's going on with our souls in small groups, and then we have a time of teaching, sharing, or learning community about practices that nurture our souls. That is the goal. We believe that God uses those practices to not only nurture our souls, but sometimes to guide us, to heal us, in the faith walking context, to produce wholeness in us and hopefully through us. So I'm pretty excited today because we are starting this series on listening prayer. It's been a very instrumental, I don't know if it's a skill or a practice in my life to learn that prayer is about listening. And I'm very excited too because I want to introduce you to Omar Calderon, who is going to lead us in these 4 weeks facilitating this. And he is the founder of Truth of Life Ministries. A little bit more than 2 years ago, Omar had this conviction of being called by God to ministry. His career was in oil and gas. You can eventually ask him and he will tell you how interesting that was, that movement in his life, and how God has done amazing things. And when you listen, when you obey, many things happen. So, but anyway, he is originally from Mexico. I know him since 2003. We're thinking 2 or 3. I don't know, but it's almost 20 years. And is a spiritual friend personally for me. He is also a faith walker. He has gone through Faith Walking 101. And back in the day, and we have been pretty connected through the years. So he's married to Joanna, and he's the father of 4 boys. So that beats the American dream. They say that the American dream are 3 boys, right? So he has 4. Anyway, very busy, and a man who I respect. And all that say, Omar, I want to give you the space to share and to lead us. I will be doing your media, so you just tell me at any time if you want me to go back or forward with the PowerPoint. But please share with us.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Marcos. It's a pleasure to be here with Faith Walking, with you all the Faith Walkers. And today we're going to talk about listening prayer, how it works, and how we are to practice it biblically. And the main 5 goals of this teaching of listening prayer are: number 1, to develop increased intimacy and growth in love with God. Listening prayer is nothing else but intimacy with God. The first and greatest commandment calls us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And something that we want to practice through listening in prayer is that, the first and greatest commandment. Then the second goal that we have is just the examination of prayer and listening prayer principles in the Bible. What does the Bible says about it? What do we see in the Bible about it? How do we see Jesus practicing it? Obviously, one of the goals is that we're going to practice listening prayer. The fourth goal is just to experience a fruitful Christian life by obeying God's will. And finally, just to develop a prayer journal so we can see and go back and read and see how God is answering and how God is leading us in our life. So this teaching is going to be divided in four lessons. Normally, I teach this in an average of 12 weeks, but here we're going to do it just in four lessons, and each one of them of 20 minutes. So basically, in 80 minutes, I'm going to give you what we take 24 hours of teaching. The very first teaching, and that's what we're going to start today with, is called God Does It All. And that is based on Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 21 to 28. The second principle of listening prayer that we're going to learn next week is the fact and the biblical truth that we have the mind of Christ. And that is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Then the third principle that we're going to learn on listening prayer is spiritual cleansing from God. That is based on Psalm 139. And finally, the fourth principle of listening prayer is going to be abiding in Christ. And that is based on John chapter 15. So really, you are in for a treat. And my prayer is that this is really new wine for all of you. So let us pray so we can jump in and start our first teaching focused on God Does It All. Let me say a prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we invite you to do your work in our lives that you may receive glory. Father, we pray asking you to grant us comprehension and understanding of your word, that we may see everything you want to do in our lives. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you fill us with the Holy Spirit. And we ask you that you cause us to walk in your ways and to obey your statutes, my Lord. Father, I pray that you speak to each one of us here. Bring us closer to you. I thank you because your word says that when it is necessary for us to speak, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will put words in us. And Father, today is necessary for me to speak about your word, about you. So I pray that you silence my carnal mind. I pray that you give me the mind of Christ. And I pray, my Lord, that you use me as an instrument of love in your hands. Thank you, Lord. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, so let's jump in. We're talking about listening prayer. And the very first fact about prayer is that we all know that we have access to God through prayer. If I tell people that I speak to God in prayer, everybody says, yeah, me too. But if I tell people that I listen to God in prayer, people go like, I don't know about that. Or that's weird. Or I don't know how biblical, or perhaps this is getting kind of out of line. And the truth is that if I have access to God in prayer, will it make sense that God will not have access to me in prayer? If me being human, if me being his creation, and if I have access to him in prayer, will he, the creator, will not have access to me through prayer? So the basic point in all this is that if God does not have access to me through prayer, then I am only having monologues with God. And unfortunately, most Christians only practice monologues with God, where I come to God in prayer and I talk. But truth is that if God has access to me in prayer, then I can have a conversation. And really, then I am more into listening to what God has to tell me than me in speaking. For it is more important to hear what God has to say than to say what me as a human want to share. Now, not to say that God does not give us a space to talk. Jesus taught us to ask and to ask the Father in his name. But we're going to get into all that biblically. But just this is the first point, just to make sure that we understand that God has access to us through prayer. So let's jump into Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 21 to 28. And then I'm gonna first focus on verses 21 to 22. Now remember, this is God speaking in first person, but he's speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. And God is telling us, "But I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came." So first of all, the very first thing that we see here is that God is telling us, I am about to act, but it is not for your sake, it is for my sake, okay? So God is saying, I am ready to act. I'm about to do something, but this is not about you. This is about me. And this is really something that with most of us Christians, it's like, I have always known that it's about God, it's not about me, but really, truly, everything is about me. And I live my Christian life as if it was everything about me. Here is the main point. When everything is about me in prayer, then I go to God and I talk. But if it is indeed about him, then I will come and listen. There is a proverb that we all know that says, I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, wise is he who listens before speaking. And that is something that we practice in business. We practice in personal relations. We know that we are to listen before we speak. But when it comes to prayer, that's the only thing that we do not practice. We come to God to talk. And really, I never or hardly ever listen. So here we want to change that. We want to learn why God calls us to live differently in this aspect. And that is what I heard a great teacher here in Houston. His name is Dwight Edwards. I hear him one saying that this is like the Copernican revolution. If you remember who Copernicus was, he was the man who came presenting this new truth that the earth was not the center of the universe. People used to believe that the earth was the center of the universe and that the sun revolved around the earth. And Copernicus came and said, no. The sun is the center of the universe and the earth revolves around it. So this is exactly how most of us Christians live in our Christian life. I am the center of the universe and God revolves around me. When God says, hey, no, you need to understand that me, God, I am the center of the universe and you are to revolve around me. So if this is truth, then how would my prayer life be different if God was really the center of my universe? That would change the principle of the monologue to listening to God. So basically, the paradigm shift is, it is not about me, it is about God. And my prayers, they are not about me, they are about God. They are about listening to what God has to say, not me just speaking all the time. Again, I am not saying that there is not a place for us to speak, and Jesus is clearing that. Ask, and it shall be given. Well, now, having said that, again, God says, I am about to act, and I have plans, but it is not about you, it is about me. Let's move to verse 23. Verse 23, Ezekiel chapter 36 says, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which have and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness. So basically, God is saying, you Christians, you my people, you have given me a bad name. Mm-hmm. But I am going to vindicate the glory of my great name when through you I show the people around you that I am the Lord. So this is just basically an evangelistic principle. God is saying, I am going to use you to show those around you who I am. I'm going to use you to show those around you that I am the Lord. And here we see just how God is so ready to act. It is not about you or me. It is about him. And he's going to use us to give him great glory. I'm going to move to verses 24 to 28. And here, remember that God said, I am about to act. And here God starts doing what he said he was going to do. He says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. And I, God, will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh and blood. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways and to obey my statutes. So here I'm going to stop in verse 27. If you remember, the first principle that we're learning in listening prayer is that God does it all. And really, most Christians, most believers have a very difficult time understanding this because we believe that we need to be on the Christian activism, doing something in order to please God. When God says, hey, wait a second, I am about to act. It is not about you. It is about me. And I will clean you. I will sprinkle you. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. I will remove from you your idols. I am the one who is going to do that. For obviously, you cannot do that yourself. And the most important thing, God says, I will put my spirit. Pay attention. Spirit with capital S. We're talking about the spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. I will put my spirit within you, and my spirit is going to cause you to walk in my ways and to obey my statutes. So very important to see how God does it all. And when it comes to listening to God also, it is God the one who causes us to listen to him, and he does that through his spirit. I don't have the capacity in my flesh, in my mind, to listen to God other or apart from the Holy Spirit speaking to me, okay? And now, let's move to the next slide. I want to show Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. How does this compare to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27? Remember that where God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways and to obey your statutes. Basically, this is the exact same thing, but paraphrased in the New Testament. So if you want to put it in terms of the Old Testament, well, God said through the prophet, I will put my spirit, the Holy Spirit, within you and cause you to walk in my ways and to obey my statutes. And in the New Testament, God tells us through Paul, is God the one who works in you that you may will and act for his good pleasure. Remember, it's not about you. It is about God. And God says, this is about me. Even in the New Testament, he's basically telling us what he already told us through the prophets in the past. Now, I want to move to our next slide to see Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, Paul is teaching us And Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live it by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So basically, I am not present anymore. I am not doing anything. It's God who works in me, that I may will and act according to his good purpose. And he's the one who puts his spirit in me, so I may will and act according to his good purpose. So he may cause me to walk in his ways and to obey his statutes, because it's Christ who lives in me. I am crucified. And the life that I live in this body, I live it by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. So who is the one who lives in me? God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the ones who are communicating to me the thoughts of God. Next week, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to see exactly the why and how that we have the mind of Christ. Paul does an excellent job in teaching us so clearly why we have the mind of Christ. And that is perfectly spelled in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So I invite you to read it in advance so you understand, again, the why and how is that we have the mind of Christ, and why we can hear the voice of God and the thoughts of God through the Holy Spirit. So having said this, and just establishing this fact that God is the one who does it all, I want to bring one more thing to your attention. Normally, we as believers, most of us understand that we have come to God through faith. You know, we all know that we are not saved by works. We know that we are saved by faith. But once we come to Jesus, then most of us get into this run of thinking that I have to be working, acting, doing. I jump into the Christian activism because I have to work out my salvation. And we forget to understand that if God brought me to him only by grace, then God is going to cause me to grow in him only by grace. For it is God who works in me that I may will and act according to his good purpose. I came to God through faith and by grace, so I wouldn't get any glory for that. It's just as a gift. But in my Christian growth, it's the same. If I was to grow because of my own strength, then I will get glory for myself because look, the Christian that I have become. And that is not how God wants us to be living life. It is by grace. This part of the Christian growth, or the process of sanctification, is by grace as well. So keep that in mind, because this is what we're setting the, basically, the foundation of our listening prayer teaching. Let's go to our next slide. I want to leave this in your mind. Proverbs 19:21. It says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So basically, we as Christians, we have been taught to use the process, the process of knocking doors to find out God's will. Like if God wants to send me in a rat chase to see what is his will. So it's on you to figure it out. Yes, I want to share my will with you, but you have to figure out how you have to know my will. And obviously, we know that our God is not that kind of God. And here, Proverbs 19:21, we read that many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the singular purpose of the Lord that will stand. So I can go trying to figure out God's will by using the knocking door approach. Or instead of that, I can seek God, I can pray, and I can really seek God being still to recognize that he is God, and then listen for what he has to tell me, and he wants to send me to the bull's eye. He wants me to hit the target in the bull's eye. He doesn't want me to go around trying to figure out his will. Again, our Father God is a God who says, I have plans to prosper you, to bless you, to give you a future and a hope. But it's on you to find them, and you better not miss them, right? That is not our God. Our God says, yes, I do have plans for you. Obviously, I want to make them known to you. And that's exactly what we're going to learn as part of our listening prayer. We're going to learn to discern God's will so we can obey what the Father prepared in advance for us to do. In Philippians chapter 2, God clearly tells us, I have prepared good works for you to walk in them. I have prepared in advance good works for you to walk in them. And we're going to learn how to discern the will of God. Sorry, how to discern the voice of God so we can do God's will. And well, this is, in a nutshell, this is the first principle of listening prayer. God does it all. And I believe that now we're going to move into a time of questions and dialogue.
Indeed. Indeed, Omar. Thank you. Thank you for that. And yeah, I love to start dialogue and see each other. So I take a couple minutes just to say, I mean, this is good. You know, I don't know what is the response of your heart as you listen to all of this. But I would like to make a short connection of this with some of the things that we talk in faith walking that many of us know. There are three things that come to mind. I mean, one, we believe the transformation. God is about transformation, transforming us into the image of Christ. And somehow this is an alignment to God. When we talk about wholeness, we talk about the design of God, we talk about that God has this design and this is aligned with his heart. You know, so it comes to mind the connection when we listen to God. Right? This is about him and not about us. So this is not about our best idea or how to live the best life that we can or how to bring wholeness. Things like the nation that are going on right now with all the racial tensions, you know. So this is about the wholeness that only God can produce. So that's one connection, you know, the wholeness and this is about God. Another connection has to do with what we call our mental model. You know, and I'm not going to explain that a lot, but there are three parts, and one of those parts is that we call it radical obedience. When we talk about radical obedience, we talk about beyond moral obedience. You know, this is far beyond. This is deep. This is from the root. This is this faithfulness, this radical desire from the root of my heart, this desire to obey to the Lord. Now, we don't know. What do we need to obey beyond morality? Okay? Those things are 101, Christianity 101. But beyond that, if I'm living this life, it's like the rich young ruler saying, what do I need to do? I do all the things. I have covered all my basic base. And Jesus says, follow me. Leave everything. And that becomes very personal, right? That is a one specific way that he is speaking to him. And it becomes hard. And so, mental model of radical obedience is connected with reflective life. Prayer is among the many practices that create space in us to listen to God. What is the point to know everything? We say we are not transformed because of information. We are transformed because of experience and the experience of God speaking to us. And the final thing that I think is very relevant around in this is precisely that, the experience of God speaking to us. So how will your life and my life change if God will speak a specific word to us? So I always put this example also, you know, Joseph, husband of Mary, mother of Jesus, right? He had to obey a very tough call, didn't he? Can you imagine the conversation of Joseph with his small group of his pastor saying, hey, you know, I think I need to marry this pregnant lady. You know, I think God wants me to marry. I mean, can you imagine the conversation and the pastor saying, or, you know, I don't know, I'm not sure, you know, it's pretty tricky. But there is something in him that was able to listen, to understand, and to obey that specific call of God. And I think listening prayer is about that. And all these principles that Omar is going to bring and what he has told us, God does it all. That is actually a relief personally for me. So anyway, I'm going to stop there. I just want to function a little bit as a bridge between the principle and the faith walking world, it makes sense, and open now this space for conversation. So unmute, and what is your resonance? What is your dissonance? What produces in you hope, resistance? What comments do you have? What questions do you have?
It really does resonate with me. I hear the Lord in it. I feel like if I really am able to live into listening to God, it's tremendously freeing. Because it's, when I compare that with, oh God, you show me what to do. I need to know what to do. I mean, when it's all focused on me, that's such a burden. It's so freeing to recognize it's all about Him. But at the same time that I say that, I mean, I've known this for a while, I have to say I don't do it that much. So there's the dissonance is between what resonates with me and yet my practicing it, my entering into that place. Because I find often when I'm trying to listen to God, you know, I'll listen a little while and then I'm quickly talking again. My natural mode is to talk, not to listen. So that's where I am.
Thanks. So that's pretty honest, and I bet you're reflecting the hearts of many, right?
And if may I suggest something, so you said that it is difficult to listen, that suddenly you find yourself talking again. I think that keeping a prayer journal, it helps tremendously to listen, because once I position myself into the listening mode that I'm expecting, and as I start getting the download from God through the Holy Spirit, as God is speaking to my spirit, to my soul, then, you know, I get into it. And the more I practice it, like anything else, the easier it gets. Something that I always tell people is, unfortunately, as Christians, we have been taught to recognize a psychological voice of the conscience and not to recognize a voice of the Holy Spirit. So everybody says, yes, I hear my conscience talking to me. And I know what it means when I obey the good voice of my conscience, and I know the results. And I also know how it is when I obey the bad voice of my conscience, and I know the bad results. But if you have invited the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will invite you to consider that internal voice that you're hearing, or that gut feeling that you're having, may be the voice of the Holy Spirit if you're walking in purity with the Lord. So, And when I start recognizing those voices, you know, Jesus is very clear, my sheep hear my voice and they recognize it. So when I start recognizing the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit living in me, then it just becomes easier and easier and easier. And all that is practice. It's just like the more time I spend with my wife and my children, I hear their voices even on the phone and I know who they are, even though I'm not seeing them. It's the exact same thing with Jesus Christ. I recognize the voice. And the voice of God always, always, always aligns with the scripture and always, always, always produces the fruit of the Spirit in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So listening to the voice of God is a very objective process based on the Holy Spirit. So just wanted to say that.
Omar, would you say something more about you just mentioned that gut feeling, right? So there is so much, I don't know, let's put it, sometimes lack of knowledge, I don't know, is fear or resistance to actually just receive that. You know, what if this gut feeling is the voice of the Holy Spirit? And as you just mentioned, this is objective, right? This is aligned with the scripture, this producing. But what would you say? So how do I, what is a good process for me to learn to discern that gut feeling? I mean,
so number one, with God, you said it very well, Marcus. I love what you said. You said, we're not transformed because of information. We're transformed because of experience, because of what we experiment, because of what we experience. And with God, then, which is truth, experiment with God, experiment with biblical truths, so you may experience God, okay? So experiment, so you may experience. We always experiment with so many things, particularly things of the flesh. We want to experiment because we want to have an experience. Well, spiritually speaking, it's the exact same thing. It's experiment, but experiment with the Bible. Put it to the test, you know, put it in practice. Experiment so you may experience God. And I was going to tell you something, and I just lost my train of thought. Where was I going? Father, remind me, Holy Spirit, what was it? Just putting in practice what God is telling me is going to take me to live what God wants to do. Marcus, ask me again the specific question that you said, because that's going to bring it back to me.
What is a good way to grow into trusting, learning to trust, how to discern this? I like what you mentioned, experiment. You know, we in faith walking, we say, try that on. So if that will be the voice of God, then how will that change? You know, we often say the love of God is not at a stake, right? If the love of God will be at a stake, if God is about to judge us right now, at the count of three, 1, 2, 3, all of us disappear.
Okay, it came back.
Okay, go ahead.
And it had to do with fear. You know, a lot of us fear misinterpreting or fear not hearing the right voice and committing a mistake, therefore. But here is the deal. God says that he is love, right? God defines himself as love. And biblically, we know that the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear, okay? We also know biblically that fear is a spirit not given by God. But instead, God gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. And that to me sounds like the Holy Spirit, right? So God has not given us a spirit of fear that does not belong from him or to him, but he has given us the Holy Spirit. And I always invite people to approach God and approach the listening prayer process, not in fear, because then you are not going to ever experience God. Because God tells you that he does not move in a spirit of fear. So I cannot come to God trying to discern his voice in fear. Instead, the book of Proverbs talks all the time about prudence. So I invite you to move with prudence and wisdom and to ask God to give you prudence, wisdom, and insight about discerning his voice. And the Bible says that if I ask for wisdom, the Lord is going to give it to me abundantly. So if I move in biblical principles, then I'm going to get to experience God as I am experimenting. So I invite you to come to listen in prayer, not in fear, for that is not given by God, but come on it in prudence. And you are going to get it. The Lord is way more interested in talking to you than you are in listening to him. That's listening prayer 101. He's way more interested in talking to me than I am in listening to him. So.
It's good. What else? Questions, comments?
So.
Oh, Chris.
I I think oftentimes for me, when I am wrestling with something, and perhaps God is speaking to me, not yet, I interpret that to mean, clearly I didn't hear you well, because there must be something I need to do. So I think part of it for me is like, what I want the answer to be is maybe not what God's answer is for me right this minute. So I'm trying to find some biblical way to make the answer what I want it to be. That's one of my experiences. And then I think for me, another thing is I feel like I hear God's voice in many other ways, like from people, from situations. And so I haven't given a lot of time and energy to the journaling and trying to listen through the journaling, which I am interested in exploring more. It feels to me like I discern or glean things more from, you know, other circumstances or people. So I think it's not that I don't trust God, it's that I don't trust myself, because I know my ego probably jumps in there too. And then it becomes a tangle of, you know, I feel like I heard that, but did I really hear that? But he, you know, I mean, it's kind of all of that messy, muddy gray. So I really appreciate this topic, and I'm eager to hear how it unfolds with this listening prayer, because it's definitely an area I feel like that is super valuable, and especially at this time, because, you know, obviously at this time in history, I want to do, but it's not about me, you know, it's about figuring out what is my place.
Yes. Chris, let me suggest something. You mentioned, it's not that I don't trust God, I don't trust me, mm-hmm. or I don't trust myself. Mm-hmm. But remember this very first principle that we're learning. God does it all. Mm. Even in your sanctification process, it does not depend on you. It depends on Him. For it is God who works in you, Chris, that you may will and act according to His good purpose. So I am glad that you don't trust yourself, but you need to trust God. You know what I mean? And don't trust yourself to trust God. Trust God to cause you to trust Him. Because He said, I am about to act, and I will put my spirit within Chris, and I'm going to cause Chris to walk in my ways and to obey my statutes. God does it all. Just let Him be. Invite Him. Experiment with this, that you may experience Him. Does that make sense?
It does.
So I just invite you to your best Christian life is ahead of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So and God moves us all there. I mean, I'm telling you. People say, well, I'm stubborn, I don't trust myself. Talk about wounded people. Mm. And God keeps working. I always say, if God has worked in my life, He can work in anybody's life. So, anyway.
Something that you say, Chris, is very helpful too. In times like this, you know, and I know what you mean, but times like this, so many voices, so much anxiety. So there is a way. I mean, so I hear Omar saying, "Trust in God to cause you Him trust in you." So everything is God, you know, true self kind of deal. You know, Christ in me is the hope of glory, and that is very transformational. You know, really, this is not about me. The illusion of separation, right? But two things. One is this idea of noise. Right? I'm gonna call it noise, okay? Voices. and this idea of silence. And we have practiced a lot of that. This is kind of my cup of tea is more contemplative, and you know, that has been healing for me in many ways. But there is very hard to be able to be in this world that I am, right, with all these voices and find my guiding principles and who I want to be, my authentic Christ in me, the voice of God in me, if I don't cultivate spaces of silence. No, I say it this way, that when I want to really listen to God and I close my eyes, the first thing that I hear is, guess what? Myself. My own preference, my own fear, my own, I really try to change that, but the first thing I hear is myself. And the love of God is not at stake. Now, if I keep staying there and I go beyond myself, you know, and say, okay, I hear myself, thank you, self, take a break. I keep listening. The second thing that I hear is the voice of people around me. You name it. It might be my culture, my family of origin. It might be my pastor. It might be, you know, the voice of the news. Is an other layer of voices and the anxiety. And yes, I mean, God is everywhere and may be using everything to speak to me, but still, it's not necessarily the voice of God. I have to go beyond that second layer to keep listening, because what I want to hear is the voice of God. It sounds like fasting, right? We go through the pangs of fasting because we want to hear God's voice. And what I mean is the way that God speaks, you know, is in that level. So just the importance of silence. That nurtures our souls in many ways, but one, probably the main way, is that it enables us, and we are designed for that, to listen to God, to have communion with God, to hear His voice, to be His sheep that recognize His voice. And so that's helpful. Yeah.
You know, and something that I love is that as we started today with that time of silence, most of us Christians have this passage of the Bible memorized that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Mm-hmm. If I read that the other way around, it says, "You will never know that I am God if you are not still." Mm-hmm. So be still and know that I am God. But you will never know that I am God if you are not still. So in that stillness is when I get to listen. Now, it will very soon get to the point that you are listening to God in real time, because it's not that I have to separate to go and to stay in a quiet time to listen to God. God is with me all the time, and He's speaking in real time with all of us. And we know that as we drive, as we are thinking, as we are asking, as we're being asked questions at the office, and we have to answer to our boss or to our employees, God is there. And I can be here talking to people and here communing with God. What do you want me to do about this, Father? And God is flowing. Mm-hmm. And God is telling me, God is speaking to me. And that is the truth of the matter, that because Christ lives in me, the Holy Spirit is flowing. It's not that I have to separate and go. That's one of the principles. That is the fourth principle that we're going to learn. Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is not check in, check out. Check in with quiet time in the morning. Check out. Go lunchtime. Okay, check in again. Check out. Go back to work. Get at night at home. Okay, check in again with Christ before you go to sleep. Okay, check out, go to bed. You know? Abiding in Christ is seamless. It's real time. Anyway.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I think that this is a good place to stop. Yeah, it has been great. The last thing that you mentioned, Omar, makes me think how, as we see in Christ, that we say the design, right? But fully human, fully alive man and the Son of God. But we see in Him also kind of our destiny. We see that abiding that you're talking about. And He is not only not doubting what God is saying in real time, but He is also inviting us to abide with Him, in Him. And it comes all this mix of God in me, me in you, and you and me. So that's a beautiful thing. Well, thank you all for being part of the conversation. I love to finish with a short prayer and a blessing. I like to pray and to give you as a prayer this blessing. Numbers 6:24-26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love, till I'm looking through the eyes